Everybody, welcome to the press. It is August 15th, 2023. It's Tuesday at BMW Championship Week. I'm Ryan Belanger. It's good to have you here. We're going to go over the results of our model for this week. Talk a little bit about at least tournament horse for courses, not courses, so to speak, because we've only had this course from 2020 in this championship's history. And obviously, that's not a whole lot to draw upon. But we will talk about current form. Talk about kind of fit in a way. Although we alluded to that a little bit yesterday, we'll catch up back with that today. And then I do want to get to the ISPS Handa World Invitational women's lines that are out for this week. Just throw a couple names at you at the tail end of this. So, for those of you new to the show, every week for our membership at golfnewsnet.com, it's $99 a year. You can sign up there, get access to this model and all the tools that we use. We do a long-term focused model. So we look at 1 and 2 year windows with some influences based on the last 3 years of a tournament and the last 5 PGA Tour events played. And all of that comes together, spits out a model, and generally does a good job of identifying the best players in the field. Now, of course, last couple of weeks, Lucas Glover is one of the worst ranked players again in the field this week and was one of the worst last week. He wins. He's playing great golf in the short term. So we will talk a little bit about, after going over the top 10 or 12 here in the long-term focus model, we will look at the best players in short-term form over the last 10 events played and try to make some guesses based upon that. So let's go over the top 10, 12-ish in this model this week, and we'll throw out a couple other names too that I think are interesting. And then we will kind of put all that together with the short-term model, and you'll see how it all works out here. So number 1 through 10 in the model: Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, John Rahm, Tommy Fleetwood, Tyrrell Hatton, Sun JM, Max Homa, Victor Hovland. There's your top 10. Couple of interesting names to round out the top 12. Russell Henley is 11th, and Jordan Spieth is 12th. Now, Henley's been playing really well the last few weeks, so that has obviously influenced his score in this ranking. We bumped up the value of the last 5 events strokes gained a little bit this summer, which I think has helped. That tells you how bad Lucas Glover has played this year, and really over the last 2 years, because he's still 48th in the field with all of that included. That's how bad it's been for him over the last couple of years. So, worth noting that he's not very well ranked in this model, even though he is clearly the hottest player on the planet right now. A couple of other names I want to point out. Tony Finau is a guy that stood out to me. He's going to stand out for a couple of reasons here, but really because he's a horse for this tournament. And part of that is, if you're getting into the top 70, it used to be the top 70, now it's top 50. But if you were getting into the top 70, you were obviously a good player. If you were consistently in the top 70, you're definitely a good player, which means you got to the next stage of the playoffs. Odds are, you're going to have some good finishes in this tournament. That doesn't mean you're always going to have a good finish in this tournament, but the odds are in your favor, right? Eventually, if you do it enough times. Tony Finau is one of those guys. John Rahm's another. Sanjay's another. We'll talk about those in a minute. Of players who have good historic finishes in this tournament. One guy I want to point out, and this is a bit of a freebie, I guess, but Keegan Bradley is 17th in the model. He is someone I love tremendously this week at his price. Hideki Matsuyama is 19th. Again, another guy I really like at the price. Cam Davis has been playing very, very good golf. He is 23rd in the model. Very good price, I think, given the way that they've played recently. Now, let's try to marry that a little bit with current form. So let's look at, we do a separate article about that. That's for free for everybody over at golfnewsnet.com. You can check that out when you have a chance. Let's look at players who have multiple top 15 finishes in the last 5 individual PGA Tour events played. We actually have quite a number of them in the field this week. So there are some with 3, like Cam Davis and Lucas Glover. The rest are with 2s. Obviously, Lucas Glover's 2 are wins, and then a T5 at the Barbasol. He had a T6 at the John Deere. So he's been playing really well going back. I mean, we're talking 2 months of good play now, basically, at this point. Cam Davis has been playing very well. Played well at the 3M Open. Played well at the Wyndham. Played well at the FedEx St. Jude. He's just playing well. Tommy Fleetwood, play well in big events. He hasn't played frequently, but when he has, he's played well. Emiliano Grillo, same thing. Grillo hasn't played well since the 3M Open, though. Russell Henley, a couple great finishes last 2 times out. T2, T6, you got to like that. Max Homa, been playing well. First top 10 ever in a major at the Open. T6 last week. He's been trending in the right direction. Victor Hovland, couple of T13s his last two outings. Reason to like him a lot. Sun JM, been in the top 15 last two times out. Not as strong as what you've seen from some other players, but encouraging. Rory McIlroy is always great. JT Poston has had a good run, but I think he's a little out of his depth right now. Second of the 3M Open, YOLO'd his way there. And then T7 at the Wyndham Championship, which was a good week, but it's on a golf course that he likes. So maybe discount that a little bit. Then I want to talk about players who have multiple top 15 finishes in this tournament. Not at this venue, obviously, but in this tournament in the last 5 years. There are a bunch with four. Cantlay, Finau, McIlroy, and Rahm. One with three, that's Sun JM. And a couple with two, Tommy Fleetwood, Ricky Fowler, and Xander Schauffele. So I'm not going to try to take a whole lot from 2020 other than to say, hey, you did well that year. But I don't think it necessarily is a dead giveaway about what we're going to get this week. Weather could be different. Lots could be different. I'd like to rack up more events than just one to try to tell us something. It's kind of hard to draw from that. So while John Rahm won here last time, I'm not necessarily just going to put that as a feather in the cap. Cantlay's game travels in this event for whatever reason, but it's not, the setups have been different. I mean, the one here in 2020 was very difficult to score. Then he won at Caves Valley, won at Wilmington. He's played well in other setups. He gets to this stage frequently and is a good PGA Tour golfer. He's not a great major championship golfer, but he's a very good PGA Tour golfer. And so he gets himself there pretty often. Tony Finau, they tend to play this on longer courses, so Finau obviously is a help here. McIlroy, same thing. Rahm, same thing. Just longer hitters, right? But they are guys that are very good PGA Tour golfers. Some of them are also good major championship golfers, but there's a difference between being a good PGA Tour golfer and being a good major championship golfer. It's slight, but it's there. So those are your guys who have done well in this event in particular in the last 5 years. Obviously, the one that kind of stands out there right now is Finau because he's not playing his best golf. And we haven't even seen it demonstrated much recently. At least we've seen that from Cantlay and Rahm. McIlroy's been great for months running now. So he's been playing very well. All that to note. So taking all of that in hand, let's go look at the short-term model. So that's a tool that we use. I call it a short-term model. It's not really a short-term model. It's a look at how players are doing the last 10 PGA Tour events played. So we've got a short field this week, so obviously a little bit of a difference, I guess, in the spread. But what we're looking for is basically more than 1.5, right about 1.5 strokes gained, I guess 1.25 strokes gained per round in total, or a quality strokes gained of more than 1.5 per round. That's a multiplier of your strokes gained total times the quality of field as represented by the official World Golf Ranking points for that week. Basically, turned into a decibel multiplied by 2. So, if you're playing in a major, 100 points, the multiplier is 2. So, you turn 100 into 1.00 multiplied by 2. Last week, we had 56 points to the winner. 1.12 is the multiplier. And over the course of the last year, we've obviously had some differences because the official World Golf Ranking assignment of points has changed. So the model has changed a little bit with it. So for players who did well in higher scoring events that got more points than they do now because they have hurt limited field events, that's obviously giving them an advantage a little bit over the long haul. But that will cancel out over the course of the next year. That all said, it's not that dramatic. So let's look at the players who lead in strokes gain total. You're not going to be very surprised in the last 10 events. Rory McIlroy, Patrick Cantlay, Lucas Glover, Scottie Scheffler, Colin Morikawa, guy I think should be on your radar this week. Tommy Fleetwood, Russell Henley, been playing great. Ricky Fowler's been playing great. Lee Hodge has been playing great, but he's been playing great against weak competition. Brian Harman, big standout from the Open, but been playing well. JT Poston's in there, again, against weak competition. Xander Schauffele, Corey Connors, Victor Hovland, Keegan Bradley, and Adam Schenck. Those are the guys that round out. Now, Keegan Bradley is just short of that 1.5 stroke metric, 1.466. You wanted to round it up, you could do that, I think. But if you look at the spread of his game, he meets two of the three criteria that I think are very important in this tool. One, you're gaining more than 0.6 strokes per round on the approach on average in your last 10 events. He checks that box. He doesn't gain a lot of strokes off the tee, does gain him putting though. So that's been a change for him. That's been a big change in his game. But that hasn't always come against the best competition. So that he gets a little bit of a dock there, I suppose. But overall, meets two of the three boxes. Corey Connors playing great on the approach, not a good putter. I don't think that's necessarily a problem this week because he's gaining strokes off the tee, gaining strokes on the approach. I'm not so worried about the putting, to be honest with you. That is who he is. And I can live with that. I think some guys that we might sleep on a little bit this week that have been playing better lately, Tom Kim is coming around. He's a great approach player, so-so at everything else. All he's got to do is be pretty, a little bit better than normal off the tee. And I think he's right there. Eric Cole struggles driving the golf ball. This is going to be a hard week for him. Otherwise, I would say I like him a whole lot. Chris Kirk, struggling driving the golf, really in every facet of the game except approach play. Sahith Theegala, opposite. He's struggling on the approach, doing everything else pretty well. If he could just hit some decent iron shots, he'd contend. Hideki Matsuyama stinks putting right now. I mean, truly heinous stuff, but he's finishing really well in tournaments. Just needs a week above board, and he's going to play really well. So those are some guys that might meet that criteria that on the approach that aren't getting there for whatever reason in total. Could be off the tee play, could be putting, could be chipping, and around the green stuff, could be all of those. But I think in the grand scheme of things, the approach play metric is the most important. That's the one that tells you the quality of player that you are. You might be having a bad couple weeks driving. You might be on surfaces you don't like putting-wise, but approach makes you a quality player, gives you a chance. Because if you can make some putts, or you can fix the driver, or get it in play, you got a chance. So Patrick Cantlay is really interesting because he's second on the list in total strokes gained and quality strokes gained. But he is just doing everything well. He's not doing every one thing spectacularly. He's just short of a green box on the approach. Just short of it. But he's doing everything really well. That's what makes him a great PGA Tour player. He does everything really well. He's not spectacular, but he does everything really well. And that you need to do some things really well to win majors, right? In a one-game scenario. But over the course of a PGA Tour season, being who he is works. Really does. So something worth noting. But based on this list here, I think some of the guys that you got to think about, Russell Henley, Ricky Fowler, obviously Tommy Fleetwood's been playing great. Colin Morikawa had a really nice T13 last week that flew under the radar even with me. So I think those are some guys. And then obviously I feel good about Keegan Bradley. Again, just has to kind of be half decent off the tee, a little bit better than usual off the tee. I think he can win this thing. So I think he's got a good number on him. Some guys that might be surprised. I mean, Wyndham Clark's been awful on the approach, been incredible putting. That's how he's gaining all his strokes. But that's worth noting. And then Sungjae has been great, really at everything. Well, I'll say above board, not great, but really good at everything but the approach. So if he can just kind of turn that around for 1 week, some things are going to start to change for him. We've noticed this on Denny McCarthy recently. A guy I really, really like. He's the best putter on tour. Plays out of my club. I'm going to say that every time. But not great on the off the tee, barely gaining positive strokes, and losing strokes on the approach. The thing that has worked very well for him in the last couple of years where he's kind of become a top 30, top 50 player is better approach play, better driving. He's not doing that right now. So that's a reason to stay away for sure. And then Jason Day's been awful on the approach lately, really since his win. I mean, it's just been horrendous on the approach. And that's really costing him a lot of strokes. He obviously had a good open, but it's just not been good in the aggregate. Maybe Siwoo Kim is a guy to think about too. People love Siwoo Kim. Certain people love to bet him. Shout out to those people. I'm one of those people who love to bet him in certain spots. Great off the tee. Great on the approach. God awful on putting. If you could just put a couple in the hole, you'd be in really good shape. Really, really, really good shape. But that's the top 10. So based on all of that information, right, we went over the market yesterday. You'd obviously only have winner 5, 10s, and 20s. We talked about that. You can't have 30s and 40s because 40, you'd only have to beat 10 players. You'd be no point. 30, you still only have to beat 20 players. There's no point. So given that, it seems like the market has moved toward McIlroy. He's 6.5 to 1. Scheffler's 7.5 to 1. Rahm's 9 to 1. Cantlay's gotten longer at 10 to 1 somehow. Makes it an interesting case to me, I think. Victor Hovland is 16 to 1, I think is a clear play. Max Homa at 22 seems a play. Morikawa at 25 seems a play. Matsuyama seems a play at 30. I think some people may start to figure out that Finau and Henley deserve a little bit of steam. Particularly Finau. Seems like this tournament, the way that it plays, the way that it's set up from year to year, from course to course. Henley's been playing great, and the approach play really does seem to bear out that he's playing great golf. I mean, it's phenomenal. He's there. It's worth a look, even against an elite field. Tom Kim right there, certainly worth a look. And then you get into like Cam Davis, who's been playing great lately. Keegan Bradley at 55 to 1 just is screaming out to me as a play. He's there. He's playing really good golf. He's had the best season of his career. He's won this tournament in the past, a different venue, in a muddier conditions, but he did it. I think we are perhaps underselling him a little bit, so I'm going to oversell him a little bit this week. And then beyond that, no one really stands out to me. I mean, you're getting down to 150 at the worst with Hoagie, Power, and Kitayama. Just stay away. One guy that I think interests me, but he's not really great, is Adam Svensson. Svensson gained strokes doing everything. Barely. But his quality strokes gained is horrendous. I mean, it is remarkably lower than everybody else's that are positive. So he's playing against weak competition. He's doing what he's doing against weak competition. But strokes gained are still strokes gained. So maybe if you want a super long shot at Svensson, maybe you want a first round pick or something, you know, that type of thing. Take a deep shot, but don't have to ride him for four rounds. That's where I would go with that. So all that worth noting. I want to go in a couple of matchups for tournament two balls, and then they have listed rounds. So they have round one, two balls. They only have tournament. They have tournament matchups up finally. They didn't do this yesterday. So we'll go over a couple of these here, and then I want to get into the ISPS Handa Women's draw. So Cam Davis against Emiliano Grillo. I'm going to take Cam Davis -120. Jason Day is -120 against Justin Rose. I'm going to take Justin Rose. Even money. Trying to find some good plus money value. And it's really hard on these lines to find. I mean, even money is hard to find. I'm going to take Max Homa over Tyrrell Hatton at even money. Take Hovland over Xander Schauffele at even money. I like that. This is an interesting. I'm not going to. I would not play this, but it's an interesting one. John Rahm versus Patrick Cantlay. Rahm's -130. Cantlay is +105. I think you have to take Cantlay. Just the plus money situation there. And then the other one that might be interesting is Sungjae Im even money against Jordan Spieth. I'd probably take Sungjae Im in that situation. We've talked about the tournament props. Right, the overall tournament props, the winning margin prop, playoff special, yes or no, that's still not mispriced. So that I guess that's good to know. They still think it's going to be a blowout, though, and I just can't buy that. One in a playoff, +270, +400, hope against hope. I just do not see this as a blowout tournament. So that's all that on that. We'll kind of round out the card for that tomorrow. We'll talk about the ISPS Handa. World Invitational for the women's side, just real quick. They only have tournament lines for the winner in this market. And it's a 144-player field. They're competing on two courses at the same time as an event on the DP World Tour with 144 players. The only two players of note on this field are Leona Maguire and Georgia Hall. We've got some other good players, but they're not top 50 players. Albin Valenzuela is the next best, 20-1. Olivia Cowan, who had a very nice week recently, 22-1. Emily Peterson, I think, is worth a look here, 25-1, because she seems to be kind of working out of a funk here. And then you see the difference between Emily Peterson, 25-1, and six players later, you're at Ann Van Dam at 35-1, who barely has any status on the LPGA. She's an LET player primarily now. So you're not going to go very deep on this, I don't think. Emily Peterson, I think, makes sense here. Maybe Stephanie Meadow playing in Northern Ireland, native country. If you want, maybe you go in the direction of trying to find players who have done very well this year on the Symetra Tour, the Epson Tour, and you go from there. Even that's a big gamble, though. I mean, maybe like a Leanne Pace, who had a nice start at the Women's PGA Championship. She's 70-1. That's kind of interesting. Bianca Pegdanganin is 100-1, but she's primarily played on the Epson Tour this year. The opportunity is there. Karis Davidson also interests me, too, at 75-1. She's shown some flashes of playing some really, really good golf. She hasn't gotten all the way there yet, but she's shown some flashes of it. And then you kind of get down into players like Yulimi No, who has the capacity to win on this tour, but right now is just playing awful golf at 130-1. Maybe like a Polly Mack at 180-1 is kind of interesting to me. But, I mean, you're reaching really quickly. Really, 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 really quickly. So I would largely stay away from this. But if you're going to make a couple of guesses, I think you stay at the top of the board in the 20s and just go from there. So that'll do it for us today on The Press. I appreciate you listening to the program. If you catch us on a podcast platform, let you do so. Please give us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. If you have any questions for me, you can get a hold of me, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. I'm also on Twitter, Threads, and Instagram at Ryan Ballingy. Join Golf News Net for $99 a year. And we'll be back tomorrow with another show, go over the final card, maybe bring up anything that we catch in news conferences or things like that as we get ready for the second event of the FedEx Cup playoffs. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thanks for listening. We will talk to you next time on The Press.